You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. And I'm still here, folks. Isn't this December the 8th? Did I miss something? Excuse me, is this December the 8th? Aren't we all supposed to be in some concentration camp somewhere? According to all the disinformation, liars and rumor mongers and all of that kind of stuff. Isn't that where we're supposed to be? Well, how come we're not there? Oh, we're going to miss muster. Aren't we? I mean, you know, we don't want to miss muster, do we? Yeah, we could get in real trouble for that. Yep, it's December the 8th, folks. Nobody's been rounded up yet. But to be fair, you know, we got 4 more hours to go till midnight. Don't you just love it? The United States of America is populated with no-brain sheeple who just love to listen to liars and rumor mongers. Never check anything out. It's like the guy that called the other day. I couldn't believe it. I said, why don't you go, you know, collar some computer experts, some real computer experts, and ask them about Y2K? And then I said, you won't do that, will you? He says, no, I won't, but somebody else will, and I'll ask them. Oh, it's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible. The ignorance, stupidity, and apathy of the American people. You know, in foreign countries, they think we're just absolutely bonkers, nuts, crazy, and that we're probably the stupidest bunch of people that ever lived. You don't believe me? Go to Europe and ask somebody. It's the truth. It's the truth, folks. Not only that, you know, most of them really don't like us because of our the way we push everybody around. And we don't need to be doing that. But it's December the 8th. It's December the 8th, December the 8th, December the 8th, and we're all still here. It's December the 8th, it's December the 8th, it's December the 8th, and the gang's all here. Oh, boy. And I bet you're still listening to those clowns, aren't you? I bet you were all listening to them today. You'll be listening to them tomorrow. good luck. Good luck. Boy. You know, somebody once said that you get what you deserve. And I guess that's what this nation's going to get, exactly what it deserves. I'm just, you know, too bad I live here. Too bad there's a lot of good people that live here that don't deserve it that are going to get it, too, right along with all the dummies. Oh, that's just sickening. Well, I'm going to play a little musical selection here while you all ruminate on December the 8th, December the 8th, and the gang's all here.
I'm home. Here's the feeling I'm gone. My dear, it's me, I'm home. And then you come back to me. I'm lost. And not to be, I'm waiting. For your company, I'm hoping that you come back to me. Now what you gonna do when the bell was right? You gonna run away and hide? I'm gonna run right by your side. You pretty baby, I even done walk. Here's the thing I'm for, but you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. Thank you.
here to be loved for. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me.
I think that's going to be some radio personality's theme song pretty soon. Don't you just love it? Oh, my goodness, don't you just love it? It always comes home to roost, folks, when you spread lies and rumors and disinformation. You always get found out. Only problem is nobody seems to notice, and they just keep listening, waiting for the next round of disinformation, lies, and bullshit, and boy, they get that adrenaline rush, and they start passing out the rumors, and everybody just gets all, we're all going to die. You know, according to all these people, you're all supposed to be in concentration camps. Gee, maybe if we open the phones, you can talk the guards into letting you use the phone. What do you think, huh? Maybe you can, by cracky. Well, got a couple of things to talk about tonight. President Clinton, I hate to call him that. It just grates on my nerves. William Jefferson Clinton. King liar. And socialist, Marxist, toothpaste, communist, leader of the Western world. And at it again, he's calling for the government to take a class action suit on behalf of all of the, low-income housing, government housing. Because he claims that the gun manufacturers' marketing techniques and advertisements cause murders in the ghettos. Cause gun crime in the ghettos. When I say ghetto, I'm talking about where any particular group of people tend to congregate, either by their own choice or because they can't afford to live anywhere else. That includes welfare, white trash, the inner city blacks, the Jews that get in their little ghettos and claim that they're being persecuted when they all chose to live there in the first place. Makes me sick to hear that crap. And the Orientals, especially Los Angeles, they all live in one place. And then they all get all upset about segregation. That there isn't any segregation. They're in those ghettos because that's where they choose to live. You see, no matter what happens, no matter how the laws are made, no matter how we all try to make everybody equal, the truth is the people who are from the same ancestral origin or have the same type of economic background or whatever, they choose to live with people just like them. I don't know why that is. I guess it's just a natural thing. Maybe they feel more comfortable. I don't know. I've never felt uncomfortable living with all different races and all different religions as I grew up as a young boy all over the world. My father was an Air Force pilot. And I literally, except for 7th and 8th grades at Monroney Junior High School in Midwest City, Oklahoma, never lived in this country when I was a boy. Never went to school here. And I loved it. I loved it. Maybe that's what gave me my boundless tolerance and acceptance of other races and religions and peoples and languages and all of those kinds of things. I think it's exciting. I love it. But that's the way it is. Moving west. And old Clinton says that these people, especially low-income welfare people who live in these government housing projects in the inner city, are threatened by the advertising and marketing practices of the gun manufacturers, and the government's going to take them to court in a class action suit, supposedly representing all of those people. Well, they may be representing some of those people, but I doubt if it's all of those people. And I don't think they have a prayer in hell of winning, not if the courts go by the law. But do you think the courts go by the law these days? No. But that's not the real point of it. The point is to bleed the manufacturers of their profits and their money with all these tremendous legal fees, drawing these court cases out over many years. And if you think it's going to be, you know, a walk in the park, you're mistaken. It's going to cost the gun manufacturers literally millions and millions and millions of dollars, all going into lawyers' pockets to fight this thing. And so some of them will chicken out and will agree to the government's terms without a fight. Some of them will begin the fight, and down the line they'll realize that that they're being destroyed by the legal costs, and they'll compromise and come to some agreement. Maybe one or two of them will fight it out to the end, but I doubt it. It'll be like Colt and the rest of them. They cave in because the prospect of spending years in court shoveling buckets of money into the pockets of greedy lawyers who do everything they can to make it drag on for even longer so that they can make even more, all charging the highest rates, because to fight these kinds of cases, you've got to get the most expensive, best lawyers that there are, who always work for these extremely expensive legal firms. And the partners have set a steep fee for their services. So that's one of the things that that we've got to look forward to. They are steadily chipping away at the second article in amendment to the Constitution. And there will come a day when, whether they come to your door to take your guns or not, there won't be any parts for guns. You won't be able to buy new guns to replace old ones that wear out. There won't be any barrels. There won't be any bolts. There won't be any anything. And if you shoot up all your ammunition, there won't be any ammunition for you to go buy. That's what this is all about. One way or another, they're going to get our guns. That's their plan. They'll nibble at it slowly, or they'll just come and take them. If they come and take them, there's going to be a civil war. If they do it, nibble slowly, they won't get their new world order as quick as they'd like to. It's going to take a lot more years for them to reach that goal, because they can't have it as long as Americans own guns and believe in freedom. But the long way, they will eventually get the guns or make them so that they don't work. And people will accept it because it will happen slowly over a long period of time. It's called gradualism. I don't know about you folks, but it makes me sick to death. Absolutely. Sick to death. And, you know, everybody... Oh, God, what's going on? I know what's wrong, folks. I know what's going on. It's December the 8th. These are the Wild West singing feds. Come to get me. They'll be in your house next. Wonder what they'll sing to you.
missed. You missed. Try it again. You missed me.
Guys are really dangerous. Ooh. It's okay, though. I'm all right. It was the feds that were up in Seattle. They forgot to take the rubber bullets out of their guns. Should have seen them bouncing all over the studio. It was incredible. It's like, it's like 500 golfers all shooting off at the same time. Oh, it's not shooting off. Teeing off. Got to keep the language straight here. Got to have fun. Gotta have fun while we're doing this stuff. Okay, I'm gonna open the phones, but first I'm gonna read you something. I wanna ask you, what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture? Here's an informant for the local police and the federal government. Self-confessed now, because I'm reading directly from his newspaper. I'm talking about Judas Glenn Jacobs. Reading directly from his Round Valley paper. Says a message to Bill on the Hill. Bill, you have friends around here. Some of them particularly want to meet with you and talk about a plan to lawfully end your dilemma and bring Annie and the girls back home and without losing face, as well as talk about a bright future for all Americans. Please call me. Those who want to meet with you don't have telephones. Forgive me, Bill. I did you wrong. Signed, Glenn. Phones are open, 520-333-4578. While we're waiting for a call, I'm going to read you this again. What I want to know is, what's wrong with this picture? Here it is again. A message to Bill on the Hill. Bill, you have friends around here. Some of them particularly want to meet with you and talk about a plan to lawfully end your dilemma and bring Annie and the girls back home and without losing face, as well as talk about a bright future for all Americans. Please call me. Those who want to meet with you don't have telephones. Forgive me, Bill. I did you wrong. Glenn. That's from Judas Glenn Jacobs, the informant. What's wrong with that picture? I know you're sitting there scratching your head. Should be obvious to everybody. What's wrong with that picture? Think I should go meet these guys somewhere? Think I should let them all come up here and meet me? On his word, 520-333-4578. What I want to know is, what's wrong with that picture that I just read to you? Anybody know? Hello? The phone is not ringing. 520-333-4578 is the number.
Once I had a pretty girl, her name, it doesn't matter. She went away with another guy, now he won't even look at her. Cast off the berries, he broke your heart, just like you broke mine when you said we were
No, believe it or not, folks, I didn't pick these records tonight. They're on a carousel at random selection. And it's funny, both of the first two that I play are right on target. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'd have to say on your letter, a couple things stand
out. It's not a letter, he printed it in his paper. It's an admission that he did it, for number one.
Yeah.
And he's asking me to meet with some people that I don't know, a whole bunch of people, and that don't have telephones.
Yeah, I'm wondering about the telephone.
What's wrong with this picture?
And discussing about the bright future of America. Yeah, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know if he really cared about that. Why was he snitching on everybody?
Yeah, that's pretty strange.
Well, what do you think? I mean, what's wrong with that picture? Tell me what's wrong with it.
Well, those are the things. Those are the things that strike me is it's totally insincere.
But what would it lead to?
What would it lead to?
What would be most likely to happen if I met with these people?
Well, we'd probably never hear from you again.
That's my reaction also.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't think there's any other way.
A trap.
Yeah.
Here's a confessed snitch,
yeah.
A government informant. Telling me he's got a whole bunch of people who don't have telephones, so I can't contact them, that want to meet with me to make America, give America a brighter future and solve my dilemma legally.
Oh, yeah.
And bring Annie and the girls back home.
That's pathetic, really. That'd be my... your take is right on the...
How many patriots do you think went down and are in prison right now because they bought on a hook like that?
I would hope that they'd be bright enough not to buy on that kind of a hook. So.
Well, they're really not. You see, because my first inclination, because I'm a Christian, was to forgive him. That was my first inclination. I had to read this 3 or 4 times before it began to dawn on me that this could very well be my demise.
Yeah. This
how can you trust somebody who's lied to you so many times that it's pathetic?
No, see, that's what if this is an individual that you've had prior unfortunate dealings with, then you know it's obvious that that's not a good it's not a good message.
No.
You know, it's pretty obvious.
And nobody that I don't know comes near me.
Right.
Are on this property.
Yeah.
Period.
No, that's amazing that that thing would be printed like that. So.
Well, he printed it in the paper.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he did, because a lot of people thought that I was lying about him being a snitch.
Yeah.
But he confessed right here. Forgive me, Bill. I did you wrong.
Yeah, that's present tense or past, or both.
So, there you go.
See what I mean? I mean, it could be present tense or and past or both. In other words, it's another wrong.
My mommy didn't raise no fool.
That's right. That's just all I wanted to say. I'll let someone else
take
the call. But
my first inclination was to forgive him, to put it, you know, away.
Right.
And take the bitterness out of my heart and forgive him. But, you know, this is clearly not something that I want to do.
No.
Smacks of more deception.
Absolutely. So,
okay, let's take some other calls. See, other people may feel differently.
Well, I hope not, but we'll see.
Well, you never know.
Okay.
I know some people who, if you asked them to forgive you, even if you were going to chop their head off in the next moment, they would do it.
Well, right. No, I agree with your take on it, so let's see what the others think, too.
Okay.
Okay, nice talking with you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. What's your take on it? What do you think? Maybe you have a different viewpoint. Maybe you think that, that there's nothing to worry about here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. It's name's Bud. It's easy to forgive them, but doesn't mean you have to ever trust them again.
Yeah.
Forgiveness doesn't mean you're stupid.
Yeah. Well, I haven't forgiven him yet.
He
endangered the life of my wife and my children, and I'll eventually forgive him. I'll never trust him again, but I'll eventually forgive him because Jesus told me I have to do that.
Right. But the other thing is that these people he knows without phones, why, geez, can't they afford a quarter and make a call from a payphone booth if it's so important? I mean, give me a break.
I have no idea.
That's so ridiculous. If it wasn't so phony, it would...
Would you do it? Would you do it if you were in my position? Would you...
No way. No way at all.
Yeah, okay.
It's silly. But interesting how he confessed. And besides that, you know, he didn't apologize to any other people in town he's been squealing on. So what is it anyhow?
Yeah, really, you know.
Have a nice
and, the, and the only reason he apologized or even printed this now is because I outed him on the air.
Oh, by the way.
If I hadn't outed him on the air, he would never have said this.
Tonight's the first night we've been able to hear you on the East Coast. This week, the other first two nights this week.
Oh, good. It's December the 8th. Maybe you'll hear me being captured later on.
So, I don't know if you are so inclined to mention what the shows were like on Monday and Tuesday. So
No. Get the tapes. This is a different hour. I don't rehash broadcasts.
No. Just to identify it.
No,
so
I don't.
If they want to buy them.
I do not rehash broadcasts.
I don't do that. For a rehash. But in any case, just an identification of what those nights were.
Excuse me. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
I do not rehash broadcasts.
Not asking for a rehash.
You're wasting a lot of time here.
Thank you very much.
Good night. Why do some people have such thick skulls? You ought to know by now, when I say something, I mean it. You know, that's the way it is. I don't rehash broadcasts, period. 520-333-4578. The only time that I might ever, you know, talk about a previous show is when the show that I'm going to do, like tonight, would be an extension of that previous broadcast. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Cooper. This is Virginia calling. I'm wondering what's taken this guy so long to even make an attempt to an apology, which that probably isn't. It's a feeble attempt at that.
Well, I happen to know also that a lot of people wrote him letters about what he did. He never published even one of those letters in his newspaper.
No, they probably took this time to cook up a plan to set some kind of trap. I wouldn't believe any of them. If you don't know them, I wouldn't believe them.
Well,
honestly, I mean, I really seriously would tell them to just get lost.
This is the age of deception.
Yeah, you got that right. But I wouldn't believe that on a bet.
Well.
Thought I'd add my 2 cents worth.
Okay. Thank you, Virginia.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. If you have an opposite or opposing view, call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. It's Kurt in Hamburg, Buffalo, New York.
Hi, Kurt.
How you doing tonight?
Good.
Well, as far as Mr. Judas goes, forgive and forget, that's okay. But what's the old saying? Screw me once, shame on you. Screw me twice, shame on me.
Oh, yeah, I've said that many times on this broadcast.
Absolutely.
And everybody who's ever been associated with me knows that loyalty and trust is number one up there in my friendships. You violate either one, and you're out of here. And there's never, you know, I might forgive you, and I may not have any hard feelings toward you, but you will never, ever get close to me or what I'm doing ever again. That's just the way it is.
I don't blame you. One thing, a couple of shows you had last week were excellent, excellent shows, and I didn't get a chance to call in. I've been listening on the computer, obviously tying up the phone line, and the one argument that was brought up is that you've changed your tune. As far as I'm concerned, Bill, you have, but for the better.
I have? How have I changed my tune?
It just seems like your program is better. You've changed for the better. Since you've been with DC.
No, that's not what he meant. He meant that I had changed my basic philosophy and my political belief and my warnings to the American people.
Oh, sure, I understand.
That's what he was talking about.
Do you agree
with that?
I don't agree that you...
It's okay if you did
change. No, I've just... your program in general has changed a little bit for the better. Since you've been with DCQ, it seems like...
Well, I feel more comfortable with Alan Weiner. I feel like I can relax a little bit.
Yeah.
he's a personal friend. In fact, hadn't been for Alan Weiner and Mr. Becker, I would never have had a radio broadcast. It's as simple as that. And Johnny Lightning. Johnny Lightning helped out an awful lot, too.
Johnny's a great guy. I love listening to his show, too.
Oh, boy, I get wild about some of his politics, but I love him. You know, I think he's a great guy, and he believes in freedom just like I do.
Yep.
He believes in a different kind of political viewpoint, but that's his right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he helped. He and Alan and Scott Becker... But he helped, he and Alan and Scott Becker, are the ones who helped me get started in radio, and they're the ones who taught me the ropes and made it possible for me to have a broadcast. And, you know, I'm eternally grateful to all three of them.
That's good. That's good. One of the best things that I've noticed so far since you've been with the Q, as they call themselves, you turn on your one-hour program, it's 58 and a half minutes usually of Bill Cooper, which is the best part of it all. You don't hear 5-10 minutes here and there and then 15 minutes of commercials.
Oh, no. Show. No, you never will.
No, that's great. Well, I'm going to get out of the way here.
Okay.
I'm outside on the cell phone, like I said, because the phone line's tied up. So you take care, and best wishes to you and Tim and Pauline.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye, Bill.
And thanks for remembering Tim and Pauline. Pauline is back trying to sort of catch up on the almost week that she was gone, and I'm scrambling to try to find some money because neither one of them have been working for the last week, and they don't have any money, and they have 5 children. So I'm scrambling to try to dig up some money to help them, and I don't have any money. I have to delay payment to WBTQ for November and just talk to Alan Weiner about that just a few moments ago. Okay, 520-333-4578. What do you think about what you heard tonight? Do you agree that this, you know, this could be a trap? Do you think that old Judas Lynn Jacobs is sincere? Do you think I should meet with these people? And if so, how should I do it to ensure my safety? I wouldn't do it without a pretty heavily armed contingent of militia. And it'd have to be up here on this hill, got to tell you that. 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Bill. Say, it comes to mind that the robot that went up the hill to meet with Randy Weaver did indeed have a telephone.
Yeah, sure did. The robot had a telephone with a shotgun pointed right at where Randy Weaver's arm would be if he reached out to grab that telephone. Luckily, Randy Weaver's mom didn't raise no fool either.
Right. I just thought I'd point that out, Bill. Keep up the good work.
That's a great great point. Thank
okay.
you. Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night. 520-333-4578. Indeed, that's absolutely true. The federal government sent a robot up to Randy Weaver's cabin, and they had Paul Harvey, because they knew that Randy Weaver listened to Paul Harvey, they had Paul Harvey on his broadcast tell Randy Weaver to reach out and pick up the phone. If he'd have done it, they'd have blown his arm off with the shotgun. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Cooper, this is Marshall in Houston.
Marshall in Houston.
Yep.
Okay.
How are you doing?
Okay.
You were talking about having to meet. I didn't catch everything because my reception hasn't been real good. But you were speaking about meeting with FBI.
No. Let me read you this article.
Okay.
This is the guy who's been posing as a patriot.
Jacobson.
Jacobs. We call him Judas Lynn Jacobs. His name is Lynn Jacobs. He's been ratting on people in this valley for a long time. He pretended to be a friend and a patriot, and he publishes a patriot newspaper, which I think is a trap now. And collecting names and addresses, what I mean by a trap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's absolutely ignored what I said on the air, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Until today, I just got his paper in the mail. It says, and this is printed in his paper, it says, a message to Bill on the Hill. Bill, you have friends around here. Some of them particularly want to meet with you and talk about a plan to lawfully end your dilemma and bring Annie and the girls back home and without losing face, as well as talk about a bright future for all Americans. Please call me. Those who want to meet with you don't have telephones. Forgive me, Bill. I did you wrong. Glenn.
Hmm.
What's your take?
I would probably recline the invitation.
Recline?
I mean, decline.
I'll be reclining here in about 3 or 4 hours if I don't work past midnight, which I usually do.
Decline the invitation and recline in the comfort of your home.
What I'm probably more likely to do is just absolutely ignore it. Except yeah, I will keep I mean, this copy of the paper unless anybody ever...
I mean, how has Mr. Jacobs been compromised? We don't know. I don't know that.
Well, we know one thing. He's been lying to us for years. and has been snitching on his neighbors and people here in the valley for years, and was a federal informant and a police informant informing on me and my family.
Well, you know, I have friends that have been in the police force, and they have used informants, and they have told me how they. I asked them, well, how do you get these informants? And they said, well, some of them just volunteer, and others they have compromised.
Glenn's a volunteer, believe me.
Pardon me?
Glenn is a volunteer.
Yeah, I wouldn't know that. But,
yeah, he is. He's a volunteer.
They create these people.
See, if I was smart, I would listen. Lula, remember I did a show for her 87th birthday?
Mm-hmm.
She's 87 years old. The first day that I ever met her, I asked her if she knew some of the people that I knew in the valley, and I mentioned Glenn Jacobs. She said, don't ever trust Glenn. He's a snitch. She said that a couple years ago to me, and I thought, there's some, I don't know what Glenn did to her. Maybe he made a date with her years ago and didn't keep the date or something, but she was right.
Yeah.
She was right. She's lived here most of her life.
Did you want to talk about anything else?
Well, I don't care. What's on your mind?
Oh, I was just thinking about, the cult of Gary North. Gary North has his cult out there of doom and gloomers.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money off those doom and gloomers.
You remember that guy, Mel Tappan, I think his name was, many years ago? He was kind of the fellow that got the ball rolling for all of that.
Yeah.
I was going through my attic, and I found one of his books. I don't know how we came into possession of that book, but I went thumbing through it. And it's kind of, the program that everybody's been following.
Oh, really?
Since the early 80s, maybe before then. And none of their prophecies have come true.
No, but people still listen to them. Still buy their products, still buy their newsletters, still pay them tons and tons of money. I mean, some of these people are filthy rich from this stuff.
Yeah, it amazes me.
And I'm up here telling the truth, struggling. Struggling, literally, and at the same time, managing to help a lot of people in this valley.
Right. well, everybody's trying to get a share of the market around here, so there's plenty of dummies out there.
Well, you see, I thought we were trying to do something for freedom and for our country and for our fellow citizens, and not for money.
Right.
If you're doing the right thing, God will always take care of you.
Yes.
But
I will agree with that.
In what we're doing, there is no purpose in getting rich.
Well, the stones that you have been throwing are mightier than all the other things that they have so far tried to array against you.
Well, I hope so. The only stones I've been throwing are truth stones.
Right. Those pack a pretty good punch. That's why they can't stand them.
The best weapon that you can ever mount against these people.
Well, I've noticed over the years when I've talked to people about certain things, and they start to see that there's some truth in what I'm telling them. Some of them go insane. They get all nutty and stuff because they figure out they've been basing their whole life on them. On a series of lies and half-truths.
Yeah. Well, I went kind of crazy when I first discovered what was going on. I was in the Navy. I thought I was serving my country.
Yeah.
I was attached to the Office of Naval Intelligence and assigned to the briefing team, the intelligence briefing team for the Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific Fleet, and I started to see what was really going on, and that we were headed for world government, and the military was actually committing treason behind the scenes in order to do this. I know that Nixon... There was a military coup that put Nixon out of the White House. He did not voluntarily resign.
Yes.
He was told to voluntarily resign or they'd kill him. Simple as that. And then they unplugged the communications from him and sent a message to all commanding officers of all military units all over the world telling them that upon receipt of that message, they would no longer accept orders from the White House. And the military controls the communications for the White House. So the president couldn't even call up a military unit in his defense. And it doesn't matter what you think of Nixon. What they did was third world treason.
Yeah.
That's what they do in third world countries, have military coups. It was unconstitutional. It was unlawful.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest reasons I left the Navy. When I confronted my commanding officer in the chart room, who was Captain Doherty, his name was Captain Doherty, committed treason. Captain Doherty. He's the one I gave the message to. I said, what are we going to do about this, Captain? This is clearly treason. This is unconstitutional. And you know what he told me? He said, we'll see if we get any orders from the White House, and then we'll decide. He knew damn well there wasn't going to be any orders from the White House. The Joint Chiefs of Staff had pulled the plug.
Was he a Mason?
I have no idea.
But he wasn't a naval intelligence.
No, he was the navigator on board the USS Oriskany, and I was his right-hand man.
You know, I remember some stories my father telling me that he became privy to that sort of relates to the world events right now. And it looks like, you know, back during the Roosevelt administration and before, there was a large transfer of technology to the Japanese to bring them up on par with the Western countries, so to speak. And they had many Japanese that were going to school here in the United States at the better universities, and also in Europe.
Yeah.
And they were being indoctrinated also here. And it seems to me that they're doing exactly the same thing with the Chinese today. This administration, its last 8 years, and kind of building up to it, they have been transferring a tremendous amount of technological information
to
the Chinese, and also infrastructure.
Yeah, but this has all been hashed out everywhere.
It has?
Yeah, everybody knows about it.
But, I mean, in so far as preparing us for another conflict, something like we had with the Japanese.
They're not preparing us for a conflict. They're preparing us for a world government that's going to be a socialist world government that will eventually lead into communism. And so they have to make friends with the communists.
So this is just a sharing of everything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Listen, I got to let you go. Let's
see
how other people get
in. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. 520-333-4578 is the number. What do you think about Mr. Judas Lynn Jacobs' little confession and invitation in his newspaper, the Round Valley paper? 520-333-4578 is the number.
As I go right merrily along, and they sing, oh, ain't it glad you're single, and that song ain't so very far from long.
Let me reset that.
Yippee, there'll be no wedding bells for today.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, as I go right merrily along. And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single? And that song ain't so very far from long. Oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell,
oh, Lily Bell, though I may have done some fooling, this is why I never, spurred the jingle, jangle, jingle.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello, Bill, how are you?
I'm fine.
I heard the letter, and it sounds awfully dubious. I wouldn't.
Can you talk a little louder, please?
Yeah, I wouldn't trust the person, sir. I think, you know what it is with you? I think so many people are jealous of you because what you represent, we all have inside of us. But we're too lazy, a lot of us, to do what you do.
Well, I don't know if that's it or not. You might be right. You might be wrong. I don't know. People behave strangely. They really do. At times, over the years, I've had some vicious attacks from people who supposedly should be supporting what I stand for, and are vicious in their diatribes and stuff, and really, I'm sure would love to put a bullet in my head. Really terrible their anger is. And you ask them what they're angry about, and they rail about things that mean nothing whatsoever. Can you explain that? Hello?
No, I sure can't.
I can't either. I don't understand it.
So can I change gears for a moment and ask you another question?
Sure.
I ordered your Zapruder film. It's kind of a hobby of mine to read about the assassination.
Uh-huh.
Could you explain what Greer did? I see it, but there's no narration.
No, there's no narration because when I narrated it, people accused me of telling people what they're supposed to see and what they're supposed to believe. So,
would you be
no,
kind enough to narrate that portion for me quickly?
No, I won't, because then they'll accuse me again. Only this time, they'll accuse me of trying to make the entire listening audience see what I see on that tape. So there it is for you to look at, and you make your own decision. I'm tired of being attacked for, you know, just doing what I should be doing. And so, no, you make up your own mind. You watch the tape, make up your own mind.
I watched it several times, and I can see, he reaches into his left breast pocket, and it looks to be like he has a small revolver, like a deer. But the film is kind of grainy after that. But it's not protocol for a Secret Service driver to reach into his left breast pocket when a presidential motorcade is in peril.
Yeah.
And aim the revolver.
He also slowed down almost to a complete stop.
Yeah, about 3 miles an hour, I guess.
And turned all the way around in the seat.
Yeah, you can see that. You freeze the frame very well.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's pointing at Derringer in the direction of Kennedy.
By the way, that's the best copy of the Zapruder film available anywhere. It's even better than this so-called new one they have out that's been digitally enhanced. You put that one beside ours, and that one looks like they dug it out of the trash can.
Yeah. It's a little bit grainy, but, I mean, you can see he reaches into his left breast pocket. He does pull out what looks to be, and I'm saying this without your narration, it looks to me like a Derringer. Looks like it's a bronze color. Points it at Kennedy for just a split second, or what would appear to me to be a split second.
And what happens during that split second?
You see his head being
blown off.
Yeah. But you don't see any. The thing that confused me was you don't see any kick like I fired rifles and pistols, and some of them have quite a kick.
Depends upon what kind of a round and what kind it is. What kind of a weapon it is. At that range, you don't need a .45, do you?
No, sir.
You wouldn't even need a .22. An air pistol would be plenty.
In your opinion,
if you fired an exploding pellet containing shellfish toxin through an air pistol at that range, you wouldn't see any kick.
I see.
You'd see his head blow up, though.
Can I ask you one more question about that? Do you believe, you don't have the energy, you don't want to. But this is more of a strategic type of question or a...
Well, ask it.
Is the hand quicker than the eye, and is that true in Dealey Plaza that day? Was Greer's hand quicker than most of our eyes?
The hand is never quicker than the eye. The trick in magic is to draw your attention away from the hand. Now, until I told the world what might have happened and what you can see on that tape, nobody ever looked at Greer, did they?
Looking at the president and Connolly and Jackie and
that's
Mrs.
right.
Connolly.
And what was that crowd looking at when the motorcade went by?
I suppose their eyes were fixated on Kennedy.
On Kennedy and Jackie. They weren't looking at...
They didn't give a rat's derriere about that driver.
That's right.
The guy that was sitting in the...
Nobody saw what anybody else did. They were fixed on Jacqueline and President Kennedy, and that's the only thing they saw. That's magic. That's called magic, my friend. If you can get people to look at something, you can do anything you want right in front of them. They'll never see it.
And obviously that's the reason why the FBI took everybody's camera away that day.
You're pretty smart. Okay, I got to let you go.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, they did. They took everybody's camera away from them. Took all the film, everything. It's amazing. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. How you doing tonight?
Who's this?
Well, you don't know me, but I'm a fan of yours. I absolutely don't think you should meet with this guy. I think it is a trap. I think the only way that you would have any contact with him at all would be via telephone, and then at that point it would be you know, up to you to ascertain whether or not anything he was saying made any sense. The fact that he would make a proclamation like that public doesn't make it any less risky. I think it's obviously some sort of a setup. However, now that he's made it public, it might not be a bad thing for you too, just since you have a you have a radio station there. You might be well advised, the people listening now, to call him or email him or write him and insist that he cut this baloney out about telephones and give you a call if he has a real life offer and needs to get your family back and get you out of legal trouble. But definitely to meet with him.
Actually, I'd rather keep it in writing.
Well,
if he's got a plan, send it to me in writing.
The only thing is, I agree with that. I think, but I don't think that should be in lieu of talking to you, only because you're a smart guy. You'd be able to tell by the inflection in his voice whether or not there was any sense of sincerity here at all.
Oh, really? I couldn't tell before when he's lying to me for several years.
Yeah, but you weren't looking for it either. You tend to be, most people, you included, I think, tend to be more trusting at the outset of something.
Oh, I'm very trusting. I give everybody an equal chance to be a friend and to do right and to help us out. And I don't shut people out or even have the slightest suspicion until they do something that violates my trust, my confidence, or
one thing that's interesting for sure is that you obviously rattled the guy's cage, because he wouldn't be putting this in any form of no less than newspaper if he for one reason or another did not want to make it known to the public that he's not an enemy of yours. I mean, I'd say he did do a public confession, and in that way, he's saying to whoever your allies are out there, hey, I admit it, I made a mistake, I did the wrong thing, and I'm trying to make it right.
Well, that's what I said. My first instinct was to forgive him and go on.
Well, I think that's right. I just don't think you can trust him. But I think to forgive him is proper, and I think it's right.
Yeah, well, I do too. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, I understand. All right, have a nice night.
Thanks for calling.
You see you later.
520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, it's going to take a while, folks. He endangered the lives of my wife and my children and my life. And we're not talking about, you know, losing some money or something. He endangered our lives. That's pretty hard to forgive. I know I'll eventually forgive him, but it's just going to take a while. I can't do it right now. I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. I'm not Jesus. I don't know how to do that. I have this terrible anger and pain and hurt in my heart right now. And I know eventually that I'll reconcile that and I'll be able to forgive him. But I'll never trust him again. I'll never want him around me or in any position where he can ever hurt me or mine again. I just really don't. We have time for one more call. 520-333-4578 is the big bad number. And if you want to get in here, you better do it now. 520-333-4578. We've got time for one more call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. I'm Jackie from New Jersey.
Hi, Jackie.
And as I was listening to you talking about the letter, I probably am much more skeptical of people than you are. To me, it seems that the man knows of your genuine feelings about your family, and to give you any form of hope and publishing it in a newspaper, I think is just a guise. And I think that if the way you talk about the way the government works, that they play so many different mind games, I don't think I would even speak to anyone if they called. I would be more... I just wouldn't trust people in the sense that you do.
Okay.
Do you think that's a possibility?
What's a possibility?
That it doesn't make sense that someone would write something so ridiculous.
I don't think it would. I think this is, I think it stinks to high heaven, to tell you the truth.
That's right. And I just...
It's scary. Like, in fact... You know, when I first read it, I thought, well, gee, Glenn's apologized. He's did it publicly. He admitted that he did it. You know, I'll forgive him. We'll go about our business. Then I read it again. And then You know,
I don't see the apology.
It got scary.
I don't see the apology.
He says, forgive me, Bill, I did you wrong.
Yeah, but that's true. But just prior to that, his other statements,
Well, you're right. You're right. There really is not a real apology there.
Right.
But I think, you know, amongst men, that's pretty close.
You think so?
Oh, most men couldn't apologize to anybody if they had to.
Well,
my father's never apologized to anybody's life, and I know at least a million people he needs to apologize to before he dies.
Well, thought I knew men, but I guess maybe you could be right.
Yeah, a lot of men think that it's a sign of weakness to apologize. Not me. I've apologized a million times in my life already. I'll apologize again the next time I'm wrong.
Well, I don't know. I just keep listening to you, and I keep reading, and I try to keep learning. And to me, there's just something in that just doesn't, it doesn't sit well. And I don't know that I would give anybody the opportunity to speak to me because they can play with me, and I don't know what their game is. I would rather know the game before I started to speak to someone.
Okay, thank you. We're out of time.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Good night, everybody. God bless each and every single one of you, including you, Glenn. God bless even President Clinton. I just wish that they could change their behavior and make this a better world. You know, they think they're trying to make a better world, but they're just screwing it up so bad it's unbelievable. Good night, Annie Poo and Allison. I love you. Merry Christmas. Listening to 101.1 FM Eager Classic Radio, like you always wished it could be. 24 hours of the very best, music of all the generations gone by. No commercial interruptions, no announcements, no nothing. Just 24 hours a day. Except for the broadcast of the hour of the time at 8 p.m. here in the Round Valley, Monday through Thursday nights. Now return you to all oldies most of the time.
tree. A shake, a shake of sugar, but you'll never shake me. No siree, oh. I'm gonna stick like glue. Stick because I'm stuck on you.